wherever you are around the world, and thank you for your company. It is time for another Spiritual Baby Speed Study on Truth to You. That's truth number two, letter U.org, games to spiritual babies.
Good morning, Jono. I can hear you've got a snotty nose today, but we're going to ignore that. We're going to ignore it.
So if I sound like I've got, you know, Kleenex stuffed up my nose, that's because I've got Kleenex stuffed up my nose, because today, we had some rain today, and we don't often get rain, and when it rains, you want to go outside and just revel in it. And I did that, and then I thought, hey, now that I'm out here and it's rained, you know, all the pollen will be on the... I mean, I'm just thinking, maybe I can breathe out here for a while. I might do a bit of weeding. That's what I'll do. I'll weed the garden a little bit. Anyway, so for the next 7 hours, my nose has been dripping since that moment.
That's terrible.
I'm really bummed out about it. But it's not going to stop us, Mr. Spiritual Babies, because what we did was, of course, there was the program, wasn't it? There was the program with Keith and Nehemiah, right. The Open Door Dialogue. And during the Open Door Dialogue, it was Nehemiah who said, because what I wanted to do was bring, we were talking about, you know, being saved and whatnot. I wanted to bring Romans 10 in because Paul says, from a Christian perspective, how people should be saved, right?
Right.
And it was Nehemiah who suggested, you know what, I think that it'd probably be better, a better program with you and Jason's Spiritual Baby. So here we are.
Here we are. And he was right. It's nearly always better with us. Self-promotion.
So thank you to Nehemiah. That's a great idea. So that's what we're going to do right now. Romans chapter 10. We're in Romans chapter 10. Paul. Now, I don't want to get into the theology of Pauline theology. First of all, I don't know why when we get into theology, we have to call him Pauline. What's that about?
I don't know. It sounds a bit Victor Victoria to me.
It's a little bit...
Yeah. We'll step away from that.
So it's just that in itself is worrying, and I don't want to get into Pauline theology. But what we're going to do is read just from Romans 10, chapter 1, chapter 10, from verse 1 to verse 13, because within there, embedded within Paul's writing, with this part of his letter, are 4 Tanakh references.
Yeah, I was wondering, should we go all the way through and then go back and address the references, or do you want to stop on each one?
No, I reckon we stop at each one.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, so grab your Bibles, boys and girls, and it's Romans chapter 10. Here we go. Right,
let's start Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer.
Oh, brothers and sisters, you've got the NIV.
Oh, I've got the NIV. I've got it. This is the internet, man. I'm crazy. I'm wild with my translations. I can go anywhere you want.
I just don't know. I know instantly that brothers and sisters, that's therefore it's the NIV. But it's but it actually says brothers, my heart's desire. But they can't have that. They've got to throw in the sisters too, because you've got to be... Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's the NIV. Please continue.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may come to be saved. For I can testify about them that they're zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness.
They did not submit to now what I've got is, boy, there's a lot of righteousness in this verse.
Mm-hmm.
For they, Mr. Spiritual Babies, being ignorant of God's righteousness, this is the right. New King James, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God, is what he's saying. Now, do you know what? At this point, we have to define what the righteousness of God is. Can we do that?
Yeah, sure.
Here it is. Mm-hmm. Psalm 119, verse 172 says, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness.
That's awesome.
It's great, isn't it?
You know, anyway, I reckon there's a speed study in there. You know,
there is. It's so good. I mean, we were in Psalm 119 recently, weren't we? Because we did the Torah in the Psalms.
That's right.
But that's an awesome one. And that's one worth remembering, because believe me, it comes in very handy to be able to define what righteousness is. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 172. What does Paul say after that?
He says, from 4... Christ is the culmination of the law.
Culmination?
The culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes.
All right. Let's not attempt to explain that. But I should say, some translations, I think, say Christ is the completion of the law, or Christ is the goal of the law, or Christ is the end of the law. And we're talking about the Torah, of course, for righteousness to everyone who believes. What's the next one?
Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them.
Ah, the person.
Mm-hmm.
See, NIV.
Okay.
Okay, so Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, and here's the quote. This is what Moses wrote. Mm-hmm. The man who does those things shall live by them. Where is that?
That is in Leviticus 18:5.
There is. You know what? I'm going to read from 1 to 5. Can I do that?
I was going to say, yeah, we have to do from 1. Yeah.
Oh, you've got to do from 1 because 1's just so... All the way to 5, it's really, this is what it says. Mm-hmm. Then Yehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am Yehovah your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do." Now, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a break there for a minute mm-hmm. because that reminded me of a book. And I went and had a look at that book. And I wanted to look up what it said about being saved, because this is what Paul's talking about. Because the book is called Death and Salvation in Ancient Egypt by Jan Assman.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Jan says. Jan says, salvation and eternal life are Christian concepts. And we might think that the Egyptian myth can all too easily be viewed through the lens of Christian tradition. Quite the contrary. In my opinion, Jan says, Christian myth is itself thoroughly stamped by Egyptian tradition, by the myth of Isis and Osiris, which from the very beginning had to do with salvation and eternal life. It thus seems legitimate to me to reconstruct the Egyptian symbolism with the help of Christian concepts. That's what Jan Assman says in the book Death and Salvation in Ancient Egypt. That's what I thought that was interesting, considering.
And that book is available online for free, right?
Well, you can get it on. You can read a lot of it on Google Books.
Oh, so we'll put a little link underneath this video.
Go on, go
check that out.
Bing,
there it is.
And Leviticus 18. So he says. Then Yehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am Yehovah your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do. Nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am Yehovah your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which, Mr. Spiritual Babies, if a man does, he shall live by them. I am Yehovah," he ends by saying.
Awesome.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
It's awesome. And what's great is that it shows that they were in the middle of a journey. And he was saying, you know, don't look at where you've been and don't do what you where you're going. Just don't do what I'm telling you now. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, though.
Go on.
In verse 5, Moses, he says, Paul says, Moses writes about the righteousness that is by the law. But Moses hadn't actually mentioned righteousness in any of that passage.
Not in that passage so far.
No. So I have to wonder.
Okay, so let's do a little bit of math here, because Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, which is of the Torah. The righteousness which is of the Torah. The man who does those things shall live by them. And what we're looking at is the judgments, the ordinances, the statutes of Yehovah, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And if we go back to Psalm 119, and I know Moses didn't write this, but Psalm 119, verse 172, it says, all of your commandments are righteousness. So if we add the two together, we can see that perhaps Paul has a case.
Okay, and so to conclude, Jehovah, the creator of the universe, mm-hmm. has told Moses
yep.
to keep the decrees and laws, which count as righteousness.
Yep.
And I'm going to leave it there because we don't have to go back and read what Paul just wrote. But
no, but with it, because don't we see that with Abraham, Abram, who believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness, right?
Right. Yep.
Grand. Okay. All right. So there you go. Now, what we have? Well, where does Paul? Now we've got to continue on because where are we up to? So Paul continues. He says, "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way." Quote, "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven?" And then in brackets I've got, that is to say, to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. Like I said, I'm not going to get into Pauline theology. I haven't a clue what he's talking about here, but this is what he says in any case. Then he goes on to say, but what does it say? And when he says, what does it say? He's talking about the scripture,
mm-hmm.
the Tanakh. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Where is he quoting from, Mr. Spiritual Babies?
That's Deuteronomy 30, right?
And Deuteronomy 30, that's where it is.
Right, they're speaking about a very specific thing.
It is. Actually, you know what? I'd like to give this some context because this is another epic passage. And it's just so awesome that I don't think we can just read out the verses that Paul is actually quoting. Can I read like 11 verses? Can I do that?
Yeah, go for it. Go crazy.
Oh, it's just so great, though. So this is Deuteronomy 30, verses 9 to 20. Yehovah, your God, will make you abound in all the work of your hand and the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land for good, for Yehovah will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of Yehovah your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written, Mr. Spiritual Babies, in this book of the law, and if you turn to Yehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul, for this commandment which I command you is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, and here this is where it kicks off with what Paul is quoting. It says in Deuteronomy, it is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us to bring it to us, that we should hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea. So it's a little bit different here because we don't have the abyss.
Right.
And we're going down into the abyss to bring Christ up, whatever that means. But it says here, nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Now, that's where Paul leaves it. But it continues on in Deuteronomy. It says, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. We're going to return to that in just a minute, but I just want to finish this passage. It says, see, I have set before you today life and good and death and evil, in that I command you to love Yehovah your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And Yehovah your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live and that you may love Yehovah your God, that you may obey his voice and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which Yehovah swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. How great is it?
That's awesome, isn't it? I mean, imagine if they were preaching that every Sunday.
Yeah, so that's right to the
so
end.
So good.
That's right to the end of chapter 30 in Deuteronomy. But just returning, it says, you know, who will ascend into heaven to bring it down to us that we should hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea. That you should say, who will go over the sea and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, Mr. Spiritual Babies, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. What does Paul say? In your mouth and in your heart?
The word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim.
Well, this is it, isn't it? Because this is the difference, boys and girls. And we're not going to speculate on this, but there is an interesting difference. It says in Deuteronomy, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. But Paul says, what does it say? The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. A little bit different. So we'll let the listeners come to their conclusions there. But
I do want to stamp at the moment, for anyone that's out there with a notepad, when it mentions Lord in that passage, the Greek word there, kurios, is 2962, and the definition is master, sir, Lord. And that's going to pop up again later. And it's kind of important that we get a context for what that word is, because we read Lord in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, a lot, and we read Jehovah, and I don't want people to get confused between the two.
Fair enough. So he goes on. Now he quotes the scripture again. What does he say?
Okay, from 11, as scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, which is from
will
Isaiah.
Will never be put to shame. Yeah, okay. Where is it?
Isaiah 28:16. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. But to put that in context, the whole verse says, so this is what the sovereign Jehovah says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic.
Do you know what I've got?
What have you got?
I'm going to read this out of my my new JPS, because I like the way they put it. It's interesting. 28:16, it says this. Assuredly, thus says Adonai Yehovah, behold, I will found in Zion, stone by stone, a tower of precious cornerstones, exceedingly firm. He who trusts need not fear. And you know what that reminded me of?
Jehovah is the strong tower.
That's the one! Yes!
Oh, man, that's so great. I never read that before. That's fantastic.
Isn't that cool? So that's Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. That says, the name of Yehovah is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And it's interesting because this particular verse in Isaiah 28, verse 16, there's this particular verse is a prophecy of promise in the middle of a prophecy of judgment and divine retribution. And so there's this glimmer of hope in regards to Zion. And I love that. And that really did remind me of Proverbs 18:10. The name of Yehovah is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Paul continues. What else does he say?
He says, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For, and he quotes, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
There's that word again. Curious. Right,
yeah, so I encourage people to go and check out all the instances of Lord in this passage and see if there's anything under there that you might uncover.
Yeah, there you go. So where's he quoting from?
He's quoting from, I'm going to do it, Yoel.
Yoel! G'day to Yoel. He's quoting from Yoel. He used to. Now, if you're going to say Yoel, then we have to say he's quoting from Yoel 3:5. It is in the Hebrew Bible, I think. But in the English, it's in Joel 2:32.
Right. And can I go from 28?
Go on.
And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood for the coming of the great and dreadful day of Jehovah. And everyone who calls on the name of Jehovah will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as Jehovah has said, even among the survivors whom Jehovah calls.
How good is that? Oh, man. And you got to admit, those three verses that we just read, Isaiah 28:16, Proverbs 18:10, Joel, or Yoel, 2 verse 32, they all go together so well. And I love the way that it ends. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance, as Jehovah has said, among the remnant whom Jehovah calls.
Awesome.
Whoever calls on the name of Jehovah shall be saved.
Yeah, Jehovah, I'm not curious.
Not curious. Don't be calling on curious. It's not going to help you out.
No.
You'll just be there kind of curious as to why nothing's happening.
That's right.
So, here it is. That's Romans chapter 10. Were we going to add anything to that? I don't think so. Romans chapter 10. This is 1 to 12?
No, we did 1 to 13.
1 to 13.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. Thank you, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
Thank you.
There you go. Oh, and in the meantime, boys and girls, get on the web and do a little bit of research as to the uncanny parallels that you can find between Egyptian religion and Christianity. That's good fun.
Yeah, and if you do, let us know.
Comment, let us know below. What you find.
Right.
Yeah, been a lot of studies on that. All right, time to go.
Thanks very much, and I hope your cold gets better soon.
No, it's not a cold, it's hay fever.
I hope you're sniffling, it's a cold. You have to learn to work these things. Look for the sympathy in everything.